When the valley is deep, when the mountain is steep, when the body is weary, when we stumble and fall, when the choices are hard, when we're battered and scarred, when we've spent our resources, when we've given our all, in Jesus' name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with the prize clear before our eyes, we find the strength to press on. Name we press on. In Jesus' name we press on. Dear on, we find the strength to press on.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so full and free. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive, 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 alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice.
Jesus was the Lamb, was he not? He was. He was the Lamb that was slain from the very foundation of the world. And I just trust that that message grips your heart today. And as you realize what the Lamb did for you, you would in turn give your life for Him. Paul says that's the only reasonable thing to do. In light of all that Christ has done, He loved us so much, love that we can never comprehend. We can never really comprehend the suffering that He had on the cross. Just this fact alone that He who knew no sin became sin for us. We don't really know what it's like because we are sinners. But here's one who's holy and just and blameless, had never seen sin other than Satan's rebellion in heaven. And He literally became sin for us. All of our sins were placed on Him. Every sin you ever committed was placed on Jesus. And He died for that sin. Great to know today that you can be saved. You can be set free. He bore the punishment for that sin. And He'll take your sins if you just let Him. He'll cleanse you. He was the Lamb that was sacrificed for your sin and mine. And I pray that we never take it for granted. And I pray that we are reminded of it daily. Not just once a year, twice a year, but daily we remember what Christ has done for us. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn this morning to the book of Mark. I want to talk to you about the first Easter message as it was delivered by the angel. Mark chapter 16. By the way, you kids did a great job. They were nervous. And some of them have never performed in a drama like this, but they did a great job. Appreciate it. Mark chapter 16, beginning with verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see Him as He said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And may the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. Throughout the Bible, God used angels as special messengers. They made announcements to humans. For example, in the very beginning book, in the book of Genesis, the angels came to Lot to tell him to flee because God was going to destroy the city that he was in. An angel came to announce the birth of Samson. An angel came to announce the birth of John the Baptist. An angel came to announce the conception of Jesus Christ. And then an angel came to announce the birth of Christ. It seems that whenever God has a message of special importance, He sends an angel to deliver that message. In our text, we are presented with an angel that makes an announcement that still continues to echo through the entire universe. It is this special message that this Easter angel gave that I would like for us to look at just a few moments this morning. But picture with me, if you can, the ladies who are coming to anoint the body of Jesus. Their hearts are filled with fear and dread as this little band of women make their way through the still dark streets of Jerusalem early that Sunday morning. They were going to the tomb of the man that they believed to be the Messiah, their Savior. This was the man that they were willing to leave everything behind to serve. They were going to the tomb of the man who had promised them life. and not to them only, but to all who would come to him. But now he himself was dead. Certainly they were confused, and they must have been confounded as they made their way to the tomb. When they arrived, they were wondering how they were going to remove this huge stone that had been placed in front of the tomb to keep out anybody who perhaps they thought maybe would steal his body. How could these women ever gain access to the body? How could they ever hope to move the stone aside, a stone that weighed several hundred pounds? As they came within sight of the tomb, they were astonished to find that the stone had already been rolled away. They saw the Roman guards laying on the ground like dead men. Seeing this, they ran inside the tomb. They ran there and they found that the body of Jesus was gone. What fear must have gripped their hearts? What doubts entered in? Did somebody actually come here to steal the body? But whatever doubts and fears that they had soon gave way. Those doubts and fears were short-lived because suddenly the women noticed a young man sitting upon a stone. And it says in Matthew chapter 8, 28, verses 2 and 3, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow." Now the angel sees the fear on the faces of these women, and he begins to speak to them. And in speaking to them, he delivers a message of peace, a message of hope, the message that we declare today, the message that still has power to change lives, even some 2,000 years later. What is this a message of? First of all, it's a message of peace. "Be not affrighted," the angel said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 6. "He saith unto them, be not affrighted." Whatever fear these ladies had in seeing this angel must have been great, but their fear quickly went away when they heard the first words from the angel's lips. Words of peace. "Don't be afraid. Be not affrighted." Do you know that that is exactly how the Lord deals with his people? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I think it's very appropriate that his resurrection should be announced and attended with a message of peace. It's been over 2,000 years since this story took place. But the message of his resurrection is still being carried literally across the world. And people are believing in the resurrection today. And Jesus Christ is entering and giving life to those who would invite them into their hearts, those who believe in him enough to trust him as their personal Savior. I would like to share just a few areas of life in which his resurrection gives us peace. First of all, in salvation. Salvation is a message of peace. We sang about it this morning. We heard it sung, announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness. Our God reigns. Our God is alive. And the scriptures tell us that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. Your salvation experience is a message of peace. Do you know that before you got saved, the turmoil and the guilt that was in your heart? But when Jesus Christ comes in, he removes the guilt. He fills your life. He fills your heart with peace. You were estranged from God. You were enemies of God. We felt alienated from God. But Jesus came that we might have peace with God, peace with ourselves, and peace with God. There's peace in death for the Christian. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he asked the question, believest thou this? Do you believe that this morning? There is peace, even in death, because we know that Jesus is the resurrection. This is not the end. Those that die in the Lord shall continue to live. There is peace as far as eternity is concerned. John chapter 14, Jesus made a great announcement. He said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That brings great peace to the soul, knowing that our eternity is decided. Jesus has gone ahead to prepare a place in heaven for us. And we will someday forever be with Him for all of eternity. That brings peace. What happens after death? That's the question many people have. What happens to me when I die? The Christian can be assured of eternal life and a home in the heavens. And by the way, John saw a glimpse of the glorified Christ in the book of Revelation. And let me tell you, Jesus is still doing well. He's alive. He's healthy. He's still doing well. His hands hasn't wore out from making all those mansions yet. He's still busy. He's in good health. And someday when yours is done, He'll come calling. He ever lives. He's alive, but He's alive forevermore. He's alive and waiting on His children to come home. Do you know that when you're anxiously awaiting something, when you're sitting down, you kind of sit on the edge of your seat? I do anyway. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is seated in the heavenly places. He's at the right hand of the Father. I don't think He's kicked back there. I think He's sitting forward in anticipation, just waiting for the signal, just waiting for God the Father to say, go and bring my children home. Jesus is ready to do that. He's in heaven, waiting and willing to bring us home. There is peace in life itself. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, Jesus speaking, He said, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. In all of life, there are times when we are tempted to worry and despair. And Jesus said, I want you to be at peace because I am sending a messenger of comfort. I am sending the Comforter Himself, the Holy Spirit. Don't think for a moment that I am going to leave you alone. Here's these disciples. They're wondering what's going to be ahead. After Jesus died on the cross, they felt alone. But how the words of Jesus must have blessed them as they reflected. I will not leave you, the Greek word orphanos. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. There is peace in knowing that when situations arise in our life, there is the Comforter that is there to help us. All of life itself. This message that the angel delivered was a message of peace, but it's also a message of power, because the angel said, He is risen. Mark 16:6, and He saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. Now, Jesus wasn't the first man to get up from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Jesus raised him Himself. After waiting to make sure that Lazarus was good and dead, about 4 days. In fact, his sister said, Lord, by this time he stinks. Jesus went over to the tomb of Lazarus, and He simply said 3 words, Lazarus, come forth. And here came Lazarus out of that tomb, grave clothes and all. But Lazarus was alive. And Christ demonstrated his resurrection power. He had just said, I am the resurrection and the life. He proved it to Mary and Martha and the others that were there that day. He proved that he was the resurrection. He also raised the widow of Nain's son, her only child. Jesus, in a heart of compassion, raised that dead boy back to life. In Mark chapter 5, we can read about how he raised Jairus' daughter. Some thought, don't even trouble the master. But in his heart of compassion, Jesus raised this girl back to life. All of these people were raised, but you know, all of them died again. But Jesus is the first one to get up and never die anymore. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. One day, these bodies die, he'll still resurrect them, and then there will be no more death. We will be raised to never die again. Romans chapter 6 and verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. 2 Timothy 2:11 says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And this life, it's the abundant life that Jesus spoke of in John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. All this great resurrection power will be ultimately realized when Jesus returns and the dead in Christ will rise first. The dead bodies of those departed saints will be resurrected from the dead and glorified to live forever with Jesus. What a day that will be. That is one of my favorite songs. Probably is my favorite hymn. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. But those words really don't even do it justice. We cannot even enter the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. Every redeemed sinner is a testimony to the life-changing, life-giving power of the risen Christ. You know, a dead person does not have the power to change anybody. But Jesus Christ is changing us. He's conforming us into his image. He's making us more like him. He's alive. It proves that he is alive. How many lives have been wrecked and ruined only to have Jesus come and bring restoration and healing and give purpose and meaning to life again? The message of this Easter angel was a message of peace. It was a message of power, but it's also a message of potential. Think about it. He is not here. Mark 16:6, and he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. As the great high priest, Jesus would be the one required to make the offering of the blood upon the mercy seat that would atone for the sins of the world. It seems to me that that is what Jesus was doing that first Easter morning. You see, the Old Testament, the priest would enter into what was called the Holy of Holies once a year. In the Holy of Holies, there was this mercy seat. And the priest would enter into the Holy of Holies and he would put the blood of an animal sacrifice on the mercy seat. And then God would atone, this blood would atone, God would forgive the people's sins for that year, and the next year the priest would go back and do it again. But picture this. After Jesus died on the cross, the first act of his resurrection was to ascend up into heaven to take his own blood and lay it upon the mercy seat, bringing forgiveness and salvation to you and to me and to mankind. His own precious blood he laid up on that mercy seat. Now anybody has access to God, and you don't have to go through a priest. Anybody has access to God. And we can go to him and we can find mercy and we can find grace and we can find help and we can find forgiveness and we can find peace from our sin and from any need that we might have. Jesus invites you to come today. He invites you to come to the mercy seat. If you have not been there to find forgiveness of sins, he says, my blood has covered your sins. I offer you complete and free and full forgiveness. If you would just come to the mercy seat and leave your sins there, my blood will cover. If you have burdens that are too hard to carry, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you. He said, why don't you come to the mercy seat today? I'll show you mercy. I'll give you power. He's just longing and waiting for us to come. And Jesus did that one time. That's it, just one time. He doesn't have to make continual sacrifices. Can you imagine the great praise that must have filled heaven that day? As the conquering, risen Savior came into heaven, marched right into the Holy of Holies, laid his blood upon the mercy seat. You know, the Bible says that there is joy in heaven among the angels when one sinner repents. Just think of the celebration that took place that day when they recognized the potential for as many as wanted to be saved, now could. The potential was tremendous. The work of the risen Lord is finished forever, Hebrews 10:12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He sat down, but don't think for a moment that he's still not busy this morning. He's still busy. He's busy acting as your intercessor. He is busy watching over you. It says in Hebrews 14, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. God watches everybody. His eyes behold you this morning. He feels your pain. He knows what you are going through. In fact, I think he's more concerned about you than you are yourself. I love the passage where Stephen is being stoned. I don't like the fact that he's being stoned. But I like it how he looks up into heaven and he sees Christ. And what's Christ doing? He's standing now. He's not sitting. He's standing. Do you know that things happen in our life that move heaven? It's like Jesus was standing there applauding, welcoming him into his presence. Jesus is busy acting as our advocate, our defense attorney. If we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's not lost a case yet. He's busy preparing a place for us, as we said, and he's waiting for the Father to send him after his children. Hebrews 10:13 says that he is expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And so the message that the angel gave was a message of peace. It was a message of power. It was a message of potential. And finally this morning, it is a message of promise. Mark 16 and verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you. The angel closed his message with these women by reminding them of the promise. The promise they would see him again. But how that those words must have lifted their hearts. They had come to the tomb expecting to see a dead body, but they left with the promise that they would be looking in a living face. They would behold his face again. Can you imagine that? But you know what? Those women don't have anything on us this morning. We may not be able to see the risen Lord there in Galilee, but we have a promise that is just a little bit better. Because you too will see his face. Not in Galilee, but in glory. And in Revelation 22:4, it says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. When we see him, we will be forever reminded of the awful price he paid for us at Calvary. Because he will still be the lamb that was slain. He will still bear the marks of his suffering in his body. The nail prints, the scars will still be there. They will be marks of his love for us. That Easter angel preached a pretty powerful message. I praise the Lord this morning that I know Jesus in a personal way, and that I'm saved. And if I were to die today, that I would go to be with Him in heaven. I know that. Do you know that today? You can be assured of that if you would come to Him, confess your sins, and receive Him as your Savior. Maybe you have received Him, but maybe you still need something from the living Christ this morning. He's living. He wants to meet your needs. He's concerned about you. He knows what you are going through. You can come to Him and get whatever it is you need today. He lives. He lives. He lives for you. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning. Is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I have not yet received Jesus, the risen Christ, as my Savior. I've not asked Him to come into my life and to forgive me of my sins. I've not accepted His sacrifice. Oh yeah, I believe that He did that, but I've never personalized it. And today, I want to invite Him in personally to my life. Receive Him as my Savior. Could I see your hand? I'd like to pray for you this morning. Is there anybody? Amen. Amen. Somebody else? Anybody else this morning? And then I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but do you have a need today? Whatever that need is, let's just take it to the Lord right now. He lives for you. Your need could literally move heaven on your behalf. Tell Him what that need is today. Invite the power of the risen Lord to meet that need, to take care of that for you. Father, we're giving You our needs. We're coming to the mercy seat today. Lord, we come boldly there that we might find grace and power to help us in this time of need. Lord, I pray those that are bringing their needs before You today would have a fresh encounter with the living Christ. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a duet, Bob and Claris. God bless them as they sing. Thank you.